Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for bringing us all together. We thank you for the community that you've made us a part of, the fellowship that we have in Jesus Christ. We pray that today would be, today's lesson would be beneficial in helping us continue to grow in that aspect of our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Can everybody hear me okay? I know this is a big room. Huh? How about now? Is that any better? Can you still hear me? Okay. All right. Christian community. Several years ago, some of you weren't here then, but several years ago I taught a class. I read a book, Bonhoeffer's Life Together. Some of you, I'm sure, have already read that. And some of you may remember the Sunday school class, or maybe you don't remember it, I don't know. But you might ask, why do I want to teach another class that's similar to that on Christian community? Why did I choose that topic? Because I think it's one of the most important things in the Christian life that sometimes gets overlooked. You know, we live in a me and Jesus culture to a large degree. And so when we talk about Christian community and Christian fellowship and life together, we're almost becoming a counterculture to what's going on in so much of the church today. So that's the reason I think this is a topic that we need to revisit from time to time. Not that I think TPC is bad at it, but we can always improve. We can always continue to grow in fellowship one with another. So, what is the definition of, or what is Christian? What is community? Let's just start there. So the word community is derived from the Latin communitas, or fellowship, which in turn is derived from communis, or common. So the idea of Christian community being things that we hold in common, things that our fellowship holds in common, one with another. If you look at the dictionary definition of community, it's a group of people in the same place or having particular characteristics in common. It's a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. What is community not? A while back, I forget where I read this, but someone made the comment, I get the sense that the term community is really hot in the advertising, marketing, sales, startup, event space because it alludes to more than just a transactional customer-company relationship. But most of the communities that I come across are, in my opinion, not actual communities. I hear the word being used when really the authors mean a series of monthly events, a Facebook page, a group of customers that has loyalty toward a specific brand, a yearly conference, all customers of an e-commerce brand, social media followers, everyone who uses Twitter, and people who happen to vote in the same way, etc. So what it is, what it's not. So what is a Christian community? I want to go back and probably read this to you last time, but I wanted to just read a paragraph, and I'm going to do that a few times today, from Bonhoeffer's book on Life Together. Bonhoeffer says, Christianity means community through Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ. No Christian community is more or less than this, whether it be a brief, single encounter or the daily fellowship of years, Christian community is only this. We belong to one another only through and in Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? It means first that a Christian needs others because of Jesus Christ. It means second that a Christian comes to others only through Jesus Christ. And it means third that in Jesus Christ we have been chosen from eternity, accepted in time, and united for eternity. So what does the scripture say about community? Well, my New King James Concordance doesn't say anything about community because the word's not even listed there. But there are other things that we view the same as community that the Bible does talk about a lot. One of them is the Greek word koinonia, and that's used quite often in the New Testament. I think there's about 18 verses in the Greek New Testament that uses the word koinonia. And a few ways that is used. Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and koinonia, fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. 1 Corinthians 1, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship, koinonia, of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 2 Corinthians 13, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion, koinonia, of the Holy Ghost be with you all. 1 John 1:3, used twice here. That which we have seen and heard declare unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And then we also see that the kingdom of God is foreshadowed in the human community. 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul calls this community the body of Christ. In 1 Peter 2, Peter calls it a building, where each stone fits the next so that the building becomes complete with Christ as the cornerstone. We think about John chapter 17 and Jesus' high priestly prayer. Jesus said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That what? That they may be one, as you, Father, and me are one, I and you. That they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I and them, you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. So we see the oneness of the fellowship of the church. There's another term that's pretty prevalent in the New Testament, another Greek word, allelon, and it is used quite a bit. There's a number of verses that, well, let me give you two to start with. 1 John 1, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with allelon, one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love allelon, one another. So there's a lot of, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, a lot of people have, because if you go to the internet and you Google one another in the New Testament, you will find a lot of different folks have pulled all of these one another's out to look at what should the Christian life in fellowship look like. You know, what are the commandments that God gives us? For example, Romans 12:10, love one another. Romans 12:10 also says, outdo one another in showing honor. There's a whole list of these, and I'm not going to give you all the scripture references, but I encourage you sometime to just Google it. You can look at all of them yourself. But this is what the Bible talks about when it says, how do we love one another? How do we fellowship with one another? How do we really become the body of Christ together? So I just talked about two. Love one another, outdo one another in showing honor. Live in harmony with one another. Instruct one another. I got a taste of that this week as we had Hannah and Greg's two smallest children. And every time, they did a good job at that board. Every time I would do anything, he would say, thank you, Grandpa. You know? And we talk about the kids in the church and their role, but I learned a lot from Bo this week. You know, just to be thankful for everything. I mean, he was thankful for everything. Couldn't get over it. So I learned that we instruct one another. We care for one another. We are to serve one another. We are to bear one another's burdens. We're to encourage one another. We're to build up one another. Do good to one another. Here's a hard one. With all humility, gentleness, and patience, bear with one another. Not just bear with, but do it in humility, gentleness, and patience. That's not easy. Be kind to one another. Forgive one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Show hospitality to one another. Clothe yourself with humility toward one another. And that's a few of the commandments. And then there's also the flip side where there's the don'ts to one another. Don't lie to one another. Don't pass judgment on one another. Don't bite and devour one another. Don't provoke one another. Don't envy one another. Don't speak evil against one another. Don't grumble against one another. And I'll stop with that one. But as you can see, there's a lot of one another commandments throughout the Bible that gives us how to live in community. Now, I say how to live in community because you think about all these exhortations that I just read to you, and they don't really make much sense unless we are living in community. How are you going to learn to bear with me if I'm never around you enough to get on your nerves? You know? I mean, you think about this. All of these things, you know, if I'm not around you, what do I have to forgive you for? You know, if I'm not spending time with you, if I'm not, you know, if I'm not serving you and not feeling like you were thankful enough, how am I going to, you know, forgive that or get past that? You know, these whole commandments that God has given us to do and not to do are meant for us to be carried out in fellowship together. How can we learn to submit to one another unless we struggle with our differences? In other words, the exhortations are written for people who come together as a church community, not just occasionally go to church. So, that brings us to the side of how do we spend time together? How much time should we spend together? Some of you may have seen a while back there was a Pew Research Center did a survey of U.S. Folks who claim to be Christian, and it asked them about people who identify as Christians and ask how active they were in the church. So of all who identified as Christian, 30% said they were highly involved in a church, 58% said they were medium involved, and 12% said they were low. Now, we have to define terms. High involvement means those who attend at least one religious service a week and at least one other monthly activity. Low means they're not a church member and rarely, if ever, attend a church service. Medium was everything in between. So you could be a church member of this 58%. You could be a church member, but maybe go Christmas and Easter. Or you could not be a church member, and you could just kind of drift around and visit a church every now and then. And that puts you in the medium category. So 30% are highly active in the church. You know, the Mormon Church and the Jehovah's Witnesses, they characterize themselves as Christians, and they said, not surprisingly, their members said they were 67% highly involved. Jehovah's Witness, 64%. If you look at The mainline denominations, PCUS was 31%, PCA was 32% highly involved, Baptist 31%, Methodist 27%, and then quite a ways down, Catholic was 16%. And I guess I would take this time as an elder just to say thank you as TPC, that I don't feel like we are normal when you look at these statistics. I feel like most everyone at TPC is here at least weekly unless they're prohibited from being out of town or sick. And that's, you know, as a session, I can't tell you how much that means to us to see you guys prize the fellowship so much, to come together, to prize worship so much that you come together each Sunday. So that is huge for us. So thank you. And as church elders, we have to make opportunities available for this fellowship to take place. So there's things that we do. Obviously, weekly worship is something that we hold above all things as the most important of all that we do. We have Vespers. These are opportunities that we provide. Vespers and hymn sings. Something that I think is probably the most underrated activity of the church in most church communities is celebrations. We have Trinity Fest, Reformation Day, Lessons and Carols, and on and on. Someone once said about celebrations, a community that does not celebrate is in danger of becoming just a group of people that gets things done. And I know Carl and Mara were last week at Ray Canada's church, and a number of years ago I was there on the Sunday before Fat Tuesday, and he preached a sermon called The Good News is Reason to Celebrate. And certainly, you've heard me say this before, but if the gospel is not a reason to celebrate, then I don't know what is. So we of all creatures should be the one to celebrate the most. Other things that we make available, home fellowship groups, mission trips occasionally. But, you know, there's a lot of things that take place in the church, and you may not even be aware of everything that takes place. I'll be honest with you, I'm probably not aware of everything that takes place. And more of a grassroots efforts of the congregation to come together. I know there's a prayer group that meets Thursday mornings here at the church. There's a men's study that meets the first Monday, a Saturday of the month here. Trinity Tavern, gosh, Carl, I don't know. Carl started that, 15 years ago? That's been going on pretty regularly. There's a mom's group. Now there's a women's night out. There used to be a group called the Fabulous 50s that met for lunch on a regular basis, and I understand that now it is just called Women 50 and Over Lunch. But Cindy Douglas has got that one going again. I can remember I was at the old church the other day, and I saw Nate's Grill sitting up there, and I remember that there was a time when Nate invited anybody that wanted to bring a hunk of meat and put it on the grill after church and get together for fellowship. I mean, that's just another way that we do it. There's church work days, and then you may say, church work days? But, you know, until you've worked alongside somebody, you may not really know them, you know? So that's a good opportunity. And then there's things that we may not think about, but architects think about a lot. Physical structure, you know, how do we encourage fellowship with our space? Well, one thing I'm really happy about in this building is that we have a very large narthex, so that when it's cold or raining, we have room for people to move around, which we didn't have at the other building. And so you have to think about those. Another thing is one of the things that we wanted when we put this building together was a courtyard. Well, we couldn't afford very much, but we do have a little bit of a courtyard. One day, hopefully, a much bigger and better courtyard, but I will say I'm always happy each Sunday when I walk out and I see people using it. So it's just it's just opportunities for us to gather together, to share our lives together. You know, there's all these structured things are good, but really, if you really want to know each other, what's the best way to do it? have people in your home. Invite another family into your home. You know, doesn't have to be for dinner, but dinner is more than just, having a meal together is more than just Southern hospitality. I mean, all through the Bible you see that the value of the meal and how that's pictured throughout the Bible. But you can invite folks over for ice cream. You can invite folks over for a game of wiffle ball. I know some families that are moving are going to have a big enough yard to do that. You know, people. I know that some of you gather for game nights, for 4th of July, for 12th night, on and on and on. I know that some of you actually vacation together, camp together. Now, if you really want to get to know one another and be able to use all of these one another things that I talked about, go camping with one another for a day or two. That will do it. Picnicking together. If you want to, another way to really get to know someone well is when someone's moving, volunteer to help. You'll learn a lot. And then there's other things, you know, one-on-one activities where you get together for lunch or you get together for coffee, or as Breland and Tim and some of us a while back did, we got together for learning how to use a pistol better. And I learned that I don't use one very well, but Breland and Tim are pretty good. So if you ever need any help with that, they're pretty good. You know. But those are just some of the things that that we can do, you know, one-on-one. I saw this quote, and I wanted to, I'm kind of winding down here, so I want to throw this out. As much as you might hate it, this is the commentator, as much as you might hate it, virtual relationships are becoming real relationships. Agree? Disagree? Virtual relationships are becoming real relationships. Yeah. Yeah, certainly COVID's had a lot to do with that. But I think it started way before then. I mean, I see the, I'm not on Facebook, but I see it listed as a Facebook community, the idea that people can become great friends there. It is easy because you don't have to, for the most part, all of the one another's that we talked about, you're free from having to deal with that, you know? If you disagree, you don't want to forgive, you just eliminate them from your Facebook page, you know? It's pretty simple. You don't have to deal with that. I'm going to read, closing with this, I'm going to read another quote from Bonhoeffer, and then I want to hear if you guys have any other thoughts. He says, Christian community is like the Christian's sanctification. It is a gift of God which we cannot claim. Only God knows the real state of our fellowship and of our sanctification. What may appear weak and trifling to us may be great and glorious to God. Just as the Christian should not be constantly feeling his spiritual pulse, so too the Christian community has not been given to us by God for us to be constantly taking its temperature. The more thankfully we daily receive what is given to us, the more surely and steadily will fellowship increase and grow from day to day as God pleases. Christian brotherhood is not an ideal which we must realize. It is rather a reality created by God in Christ in which we may participate. Any comments? Christian community. Yes, sir, Don.
I remember growing up when we went to a church not our own, we would find at least some familiarity with the people we worshiped with on Sunday. A lot of that had to do with music. Seemed like as long as it was a Protestant church, and you know, whenever that was, that's show them in my experience. We always knew the songs that were sung up there. We felt right at home. That's the way we did at home. And as things have progressed, I go to a church, not my own these days. I'm in the dark. So at first that kind of frustrated me a little bit because I want to engage it and I want to celebrate and I want to, you know, move forward in this, this idea of worship. But at this point in the understanding of it, or realizing that like from the 70s till now, it's been this, I think I first looked at it as it was a separation among God's people. But now I'm trying to engage what I find and find the nuggets of the beauty that the human's response to a sovereign God and their willingness to praise His high name in the way that they do it. Sometimes there's a track set up there and, you know, six people behind microphones. Sometimes it's like ours. But there's all this variety among God's people. And I admit that early on it was, well, you don't do it like I do, so it must be wrong kind of attitude. You know, Satan is, he's gonna do his best to get me down. And I just want to encourage all of you, keep saying, no, it won't happen. And then ask God to give you the strength to engage these kinds of differences that we see among ourselves. And, you know, do what God has commanded us to do. Commune with one another. Sometimes it's just going to be passing ships in the night. But other times, there's going to be, like it is with us, where we have opportunity to be with one another and learn more about one another and struggle with one another. Hopefully you'll forgive me, and I'm going to do my best to forgive you when we get cross with one another. But there's hindrances if I see them at every turn. And it's, of late, I'd say there's plenty of opportunity to engage in a positive way that I found for myself. And Philip, I'd just like to say thank you to you in the session for creating the environment and maintaining the environment where we have those opportunities to know ourselves. And I think what TPC has needs to be propagated across the world. And so carry that same attitude, I'm saying, right into this church that you've never been in before. And it'll be limited, of course, but there's opportunity there. If nowhere else but in my own heart and in my own mind, to walk away saying, I did my best to engage the folks that I worship with to the glory and honor of God.
That's a great point, Don. Thank you. Anybody else? I'll ask another question. What does, when we talk about building community, what do you think TPC does well, or what do you think we're lacking in? Something personally I'd like to know. Where do you see us weak in community? Or do you see us strong? Maybe you don't even see us as a community.
I think we're really strong in our community. In the area of the needs, what we have to do.
Yeah. It's really about Christian community, isn't it? Not just TPC community. It kind of gets back to what Don was saying, too. Yeah, that's a good point. Yes, sir.
One thing that I think a lot, especially in the recent days, was like the church is not
a community?
Not a community at all. It's really right. And part of that is the idea that we can replace the concept of community with the word. Yeah, I think a community is embodied. Yeah. It's hard to have embodied. thing that struck me about all this is that this is a church altar group, and they plan once a month, yes, a Sunday away. And so they use 25% of their Sunday out of the year. They plan that. And they kind of move towards this, that there is a difference between having somebody do Bible works and prayer or PMI, call it church, versus coming as a body of Christ intentionally to worship God. I think it's not okay. I think one of the biggest things in the church that I have one is just more human versus reality. I learned that. In fact, the city is today is that the reality of the splitting of the church as a community is now
one of the things you mentioned about leaving the camping and coming back for worship, I think kind of falls in with what Don was saying about carrying our Christianity, carrying our fellowship to other churches or to other fellowship groups, is that when you take a stand for how important fellowship, worship is for you and your son by saying, guys, we're going to have to leave you now, I think you're planting a seed there, and I think those are good things. We need more of that in the church. Anybody else? Okay, well,
communism?
Yeah, what? You know, yeah, that's always a good question, and I wish you hadn't have brought that up. In case you didn't hear, Carl was asking, what would you say if somebody said the churches should be a model of socialism or is a model of communism or socialism? Well, certainly there's many views of what to hold in common would be. Usually communism is, I want you to hold in common the things that I hold are important, and that's the way it's going to be. If you look at the Bible, there's a lot of things holding in common, yet it is not a restriction on other things, like, for instance, capitalism or owning things outright. But there is taking care of one another's needs, without a doubt, in that. So I think what communism has, we think of today as communism, is really not what, if you were to go back and look at Acts, the communal living that took place there, I really think you're talking about apples and oranges. And that's where I would go. Right. You believe what I believe, and that's it.
Always in the area that you live in Jerusalem and those are the religious
And obviously he's against hoarding. Yeah. We do share with those in need. I mean, that is something that we do, or we should be doing. Okay, well, I think it's about time, so let me close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you again for this community, for this fellowship, for the oneness that we share together. We pray that you would teach us each day as we spend time with one another, as we work with one another, as we worship with one another, as we share our lives with one another. Father, teach us to truly to love as you have loved us. Teach us to remember that we are one together, as we are one with you, Father, as you and Christ and the Holy Spirit are one. We thank you for the teaching that the Bible gives us, the clearness of it, and just pray that you would allow us to live a life that is pleasing and honoring to you in all that we do and most minute details of our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.